Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Chaf Dalet. We left off in daf Chaf Gimel on the base. We're right in the middle of the sugya of Rov Vikarov. We know that the Torah uses two different criteria to determine where something came from. We have both the criteria of Rov, that we follow the majority, as well as the criteria of Karov, which we use specifically by the Halacha of Egla Arufa. And our sugya deals with what if the Rov conflicts with the Karov. Which one is a greater mevarer of what the facts of the case are? So the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina, had said this chiddush that rov v'karov holchnachar rov, that majority always wins, even against a karov. So we had brought two rayos yesterday in terms of determining whether that is so. The first raya, just from the Chumash itself, isn't the case of Egla Rufa, where there is a rov against it, and yet we still go with the karov. And we had said, no, Yeshavas Ben Aharim, there's no rov against it, it's just karov over there, and that's why we follow the karov in that case. The second raya was from our Mishnah, of Nipal and Nimtza, you find a bird within 50 amos, so you assume it belongs to the Baal HaShovach, even though there is a rov. So apparently you follow the karov, even in place of a rov. So the Gemara said, no, we're dealing with a situation where there's no rov. Now we're going to go on to a third raya, five lines from the bottom. Tashma, nimtza ben shnei shovchos. If you find a bird right between two shovchos, between two nests, karov lozeh shelo, v'karov lozeh shelo. Whichever one it's closer to is the one where that bird came from. V'yafal gav d'chad minay nafesh mechavrei, even though, generally speaking, one has more birds than the other one, so you have a rove. Nevertheless, apparently we follow the karov, even though there is a rove. So says the Gemara, hachamay eskinan sheshnei shavim. Now, who said that one has more than the other? We're talking about two nests that have the exact same amount of birds. Right? That's all we're saying. This is not like what Rabbi Yirmiyah had said yesterday, where he asked, what if the bird is 1 foot on within 50 amos, 1 foot above 50 amos, even though it seems unlikely that the two nests have exactly the same amount of birds, it's not along the same lines, because again, the problem with Rabbi Yirmiyah's Shaila was that Rabbi Yirmiyah was questioning the Chachamim. He was saying, come on, really, it only goes 50 amos, and it doesn't go 50 and a half amos. You know, so he was questioning the Shirim of the Chachamim. This isn't questioning the Shirim, this is just saying that sometimes you have, granted it may not be that common, but sometimes you have two nests, and they talk have the same exact amount of birds, and that's what we must be dealing with. So, So granted, maybe you don't have a rove between these two nests themselves, but you still have a rove of the world. A rove of the birds of the world should be machria over here against the karov. So it says the Gemara, no, hacha b'mayaskinan b'shvil shel kramim. It's in a path of a vineyard. And demisa demialma asi, if it had in fact come from somewhere else other than these two nests and these two dovecotes, kiven demidadi lo matzi asi. Since it's hopping, it would not have been able to come. The kol demidadi v'hadar chazilei l'kinei midadi v'ilo lo midadi. The nature of the birds are that if they're not flying, if they're hopping, they're only going to hop as far as they can still see behind them, as far as they can still see the nest that they originated and that they came from. But if they can no longer see that the nest that they came from, then they're not going to hop any further. So therefore, we know this didn't come me'alma, because it's in the middle of this path of vineyards, so it can't see except for what's in the path. And there are two nests in the path, so it can only see in those two directions. It can't see anything else. And that's why we know that it had to have come from one of these two. So if these two have the same amount of birds in them, there is no rove over here. There's only a karov to follow. If you look at Rashi, b'shvil shel kramim dal yidei kramim dal d'chutz chamishim, meaning because it's in a vineyard, it will go more than 50 amos away. Right? So we're not limited to the 50 amos. But Basru b'diyam l'lakal mezel, d'kala medada v'chazi l'kine, k'sha makzer rosha medada, ilo lo medada. But when it's hopping, if it could still see its nest where it originated, it will continue to hop. Otherwise, it will not. V'hai, imei alma asi, lo matzi chazi l'kine, d'kram mafzik l'fanav. So the vineyard over here accomplishes two things. First, it accomplishes that the animal is able to hop more than 50 amos away, because it's in a vineyard, so it's able to eat from the vineyard or whatever, so it's able to go more than 50 amos away. And second, that it could not have come me'alma because the vineyard blocks its view. So it wouldn't have been able to see anything else, since it's in a vineyard where there are so many vines, it would block its view. It's in the shvil, it's in a path in a vineyard, it wouldn't be able to see anything else besides for these two for these two nests. So that's what the idea of having it in the path of a vineyard accomplishes. Tosfos deals with, do we really need both of those factors? Okay, we'll leave that alone. Says the Gemara, a fourth raya. Amar Abaye from the Nami Tanina. We have a raya from Hilchos Nida. Dam she nimtza bepruzder, blood is found in the vaginal canal, right? So where did that blood come from? Did the blood come from the uterus? Or maybe, in which case, obviously, the woman is a nida. Or did the blood come from perhaps somewhere else? So if you find blood in the pruzder, sveiko tamei shechaskas min makar, we assume she's tamei because she has the chazaka is that the blood comes from the makar, that the blood comes from the uterus. It's uterine bleeding. That's what we assume, even though the blood wasn't found dripping out of the uterus. It was found in the vaginal canal. We assume it's uterine bleeding. I v'yafagavdika aliyah demikrava. Even though right there in the anatomy, there is the aliyah, which is closer than the uterus, but the rove blood comes from the uterus. So apparently the fact that rove blood comes from the uterus, even though the aliyah is right there and it's more karov, nevertheless, we see that we follow the rove. Why am I not translating the word aliyah? Because it's very, very difficult to translate the word aliyah anatomically to figure out what in the world the Gemara is talking about. The fallopian tubes, it's not abundantly clear. The bladder, it's not completely clear what the Gemara is talking about. Rashi tries to explain the biology a little bit. The biology does not really seem to match up perfectly with our knowledge of biology, so it's a little bit difficult to try to figure out what exactly the aliyah really is. But and this is not a type of situation where it's very easy to say nishtana ativin. There are certain situations where we just say if things change, and it, you know, things change in terms of the metzius, where we just say, well, the metzius changed over time. Even within Hilchos Nida, we'll say that sometimes. But not we normally don't say that in terms of the makeup of the human body. The way the human body reacts to certain things or acts, that we'll say nishtana ativim. For instance, we'll say nishtana ativim in the sense that the Gemara assumes throughout all of Shas that a nursing woman cannot become pregnant, that it's impossible for a nursing woman to become pregnant. So we can assume that women's health has improved enough over time, for whatever reason, that nowadays nursing women can become pregnant. Or, for instance, we'll assume, the Gemara always assumes, that every woman has a vesus kavua, without pills, without any hormones to regulate it. Every woman has a vesus kavua, and you have to realize when the Gemara says vesus kavua, it doesn't mean what we consider vesus kavua, that she's able to say, I see dam every 32 days, or whatever it is, and it's pretty consistent like that. No, when they had vesus kavua, they were pretty much able to predict to the hour. They were able to say, the dam is going to come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, and they knew exactly when the dam was going to come. That we can assume nishtanativim, because most women nowadays, leaving aside all hormones and ways of regulating it, do not really have a vesus kavua, are unable to even predict the day. So these are types of things that are nishtanativim. It's much more difficult to say nishtanativim in the actual build, in the makeup of the human body. So the Gemara must have been referring to something. And yet, it's also hard to say that the Gemara didn't know, because this is something they really, there were people that were dissecting bodies in the times of the Gemara. All you had to do is dissect the body and see what was in there. So it's hard to say that this, we're not talking about microscopic things that the Gemara maybe was unaware of. We're talking about things that they probably were aware of. So it's just, we probably just don't understand exactly what the Gemara is referring to. But whatever it may be, the Gemara is assuming that there is this idea of blood that's found in the vaginal canal that could have come from the uterus, or it could have come from somewhere else, but since the uterus is the rove, we assume it comes from the uterus, and therefore the woman is considered a nida. Amrle Rava, so Rava says, Rovu Matsu Kamrit, Rovu Matsu Lekal Madiamar. Now that's different. In that case, of course we're going to assume she's a nida, because that's not just Rove, it's not just Rove against Karov, it's Rove and Matsui. What does it mean, Rove and Matsui? Says Rashi. Some of Rabbim Yosef Mishal Aliyah, there's more blood in the uterus than there is in the Aliyah. Va'od chain to Dirin Lazov Misham. Plus, blood constantly flows from the uterus, meaning it's normal. Not only is there more blood in the uterus, but it's normal for blood to come from the uterus. Meaning, when we're talking about, let's say, two nests, right? So one nest might have more birds than the other one. But does that mean that the birds in that nest that has more travel more frequently than the birds from the other nest? Certainly not. It's only an issue of rov. But over here, the blood travels more frequently. The blood from the uterus travels more frequently in this direction. So that's a rov umatsui. Right? Rashi continues, No one would disagree with Rabbi Chanina on that. I mean, Rabbi Chanina, again, is one that said, rov karov halachacha rov, that we follow the rov. Of course we're going to follow the rov when the rov is aided by a matsui. Detani Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia taught, Dama nimsa perpuzder chayavin alav al bias migdash v'safran alav as a truma. When you find dam in the pruzder, you're chayiv for al bias migdash for entering the migdash when you're tamei. If there was dam that was nimsa perpuzder of this woman, and safran alav as a truma, if she touches truma, we assume that she was metame the truma, and we would burn the truma. Meaning we're pretty seriously assume that she's vaday anida. It's not a suffix. We consider pretty certain. Va'amar Rav Shmami namid Rabbi Chia tlas, and Rav says you see from Rabbi Chia's statement, three things. Number one, Shmamina Rov Karov Al Chacha Rov. First, you see that Rov beats Karov because the dam we assume is from the uterus and not from the Aliyah. Number two, Shmamina Ruba Daraisa. We see that Rov must be a Daraisa because if we're only Drabanan, if we're only Chumrami Drabanan, we would not be Sorif Truma based on Chumrami Drabanan. We wouldn't be Mechayev a Karban. I'll be as Migdash if we're only din Rabbanan. Ushmamina isla the Rabbi Zera. We also see that he holds like Rabbi Zera. Damir Rabbi Zera afal pisha dlasos medina neulos daisha dchidlasos medina neulos tamia vafilachik kazlin basaruba. That we follow the rove even when you don't have a ruba di alma, even when there's no second rove of rove people in the world, because by the woman there is no second rove. It's not that there's the rove of the blood in the world. Plays a role over here, because this blood didn't come from outside there in the world. It was found in her vaginal canal. So it obviously came from inside her body. So that's what we say in the Isha's like Dalasos Amadina Neulos. Right? That's Rashi on the last two skinny lines. You're not going to find a second rove. El chad ruba, she rove dami min hamakar. You only have that one rove, that most of the blood comes from the uterus. V'ka'azli ba'basa ruba la'havi karban la'azara v'lisof truma d'midi da'as la'asos mi'safikhu. And yet we do things that we would not do if it were a safik nida. We are sorif truma, we bring a karban. So these are clearly it's clearly a vada. The one issue that Tosfos deals with over here is there seems to be one extra letter in our Gemara, right? We had quoted this din of Dama Nimtza B'Pruzder, then we quoted Rabbi Chia that you're even sorry if Truma on it, and I'm sorry, then in quoting Rabbi Chia, the Gemara said, Ditani Rabbi Chia. Now, when did we say Ditani Rabbi Chia? Right after we said the line of Rov Matsui, that the reason why the woman is Vaday Tamei is because it's not only a Rov, it's also a Matsui on the side of the Rov. And then we quote, Ditani Rabbi Chia, like Rabbi Chia taught us. Now, does Rabbi Chia show us Rov Matsui? Adrabah, from Rabbi Chia it says, Shvamina Mid Rabbi Chia just Rov Karav Halchacha Rov. What does that have to do with Rav Matsui? So Tosos is bothered by this. Tosos, the Tani Rabbi Chia, he says, Igar Sinan Tani Asi Shapir. If we were going to raise Tani Rabbi Chia without the Did Tani, right, then it would be great. Aval Igar Sinan Did Tani, but if we're going to raise Did Tani Rabbi Chia, Tema. Hechi ma'isim ehacha derov matzoi hu. Dilma lav mishum derov matzoi kam Rabbi Chia desafran lav es truma. El mishum derov karov halachachar rov krabi chanina. How is Rabbi Chia at all a raya to the idea that rov matzoi is the determining factor over here, and the reason the woman is considered nida is because she has the rov and the matzoi? Maybe he just straight holds like Rabbi Chanina that it's rov karov halachachar rov. You don't need matzoi. Where do you see from Rabbi Chia that matzoi is at all a factor? So says Tosos v'nirli da'afilu garsinan ditani lomi divrei ravahu elegemaru hu demaisila deshaper avamucha chabayim imasnisim denida derov v'karov halachachar rov. The afal gav the katani sveiko tamei Al karchach lav sveikahu miditani Rabbi Chiya dechayav nav al bias mikdash. Meaning, we're not proving Rav Matzoi. We're just proving that, I mean, even if your girl is ditani, we're not trying to prove Rav Matzoi. We're just proving that she's vaday tame. That's all. We're proving the halacha, that the woman is going to be vaday tame. How do we know that we consider her vaday tame? Because we're sorry for la truma. We consider her to be, we're sorry for truma on her. Now, the Shmaitza tries, the Shev Shmaitza and Shmaitza Dalid tries to be miyashev. How it could be a ditani Rabbi Chiya, how this could be a raya to Rovu Matzoi. And the Shmaitz says, Rabbi Chiya must assume Matzoi over here. If it were just Rov versus Karov, he wouldn't be able to say with certainty in our case, in this case, that you would be Sarif Truma, that you would bring a Karban. He says, because we have a klal that Kol Kavua Kimechzal Mechzadabi. And any time the suffix is in a situation that's kavua, that's stationary, so even if it's 9 versus 1, we always consider it like a 50-50. Right? Let's say, what's the classic example? If there's on Central Avenue, there are 10 kosher stores and one non-kosher store, and I find a piece of food on the street on Central Avenue, so then I found it Parush, somewhere in the middle of the street, it was not in its original location, so I can follow the majority, assume that it's kosher. But if I went into a store, I just have no recollection of which store I went into. I don't remember if I went into Wak Tov or Good Wak or Chosen, right? So it's a 2-to-1 kosher Chinese, and I see that I have kosher Chinese food. Is Good Wak still open? It used to be right near Haftaran. So I think Wak Tov took, okay, anyway. So I look inside and I see that there's Chinese food and it all looks the same. It looks like a big pile of MSG. So I don't know if it's from the kosher store or from the non-kosher store. But where did I get it from? I got it from the place that it was Kavua. So then we say, Kol Kavua Kmechzal Mech. So then we consider it 50-50. So says the Shev Shmaitza, which I believe they say he wrote the Sefer, it was the Ketzos, the author of the Ketzos. He wrote it, I think, when he was 17 years old, when he got married. They say that he said over one of the Shmaitzas, by each of the Shevar Brachas. Must have been a long Shevar Brachas, because it's pretty complicated Shmaitzes. But anyway, I think he says in Shmaitza Dalid that by the woman, we're obviously Choshish over here for Nidda D'Oraisa. So it must be, in order to become a Nidda D'Oraisa, she must have had a Hargasha. Right, there must be something, and hargasha is something that happens bifnim, it's something that happens inside of her body, right? Because without a hargasha, it's only a kesem, it wouldn't be needed daraisa, it would only be the rabbanon in the first place, and yuvada wouldn't bring a karban. So there must have been a hargasha here as well. So he says, since there must have been a hargasha, it's kavua inside of her body, and since it's kavua, it would be mechza mechza. So the rov wouldn't even help you. You want to say rov dam in a makar, it doesn't matter, because it's kavua. So if it's kavur and it's mechzal mechza, it must be that there's something else over here. It must be that matzoi is a factor. So ditani Rabbi Chiya, that you can be sorry if truma, you can bring carbon, is taka a good raya to the idea that that rovu matzoi, that it's not just rov, that we're relying on matzoi as well over here, because the rov alone would not have done it for us. The rov alone would have left us with a 50-50 suffix. What exactly is a hargasha is a big discussion in the poskim. Pischi Tshuva in Yerideya quotes three deos about what a hargasha is. That one day is nizdaza gufa, that her body trembles. The other is that she's margish, the psichas piyamakar, she feels the uterus opening. And the third day is that she's hargashas zivas davar lach. That's the one we could most possibly, we can come closest to understanding. The first two, ask any woman if she's ever experienced anything like that, and they will tell you they have no idea what you're talking about. That there is no such thing. But Zivas Davalach we could maybe hear, except the problem is, Zivas Davalach doesn't mean she feels some moisture leaving her body, it means she feels the moisture leaving the uterus, inside of her body. So most women don't feel anything, they don't have any of these hargashos, so it's a big issue. Why is it that we assume that Anita is Anita D'Oraisa nowadays? Why should she be done? Maybe everything should be a kesen. Everything should have a din of tzarabans. A woman should be able to wear colored garments the whole month, and she should never be a nida because everything should have a din of a kesem. So the poskim obviously deal with this and say that no, it must be argasha v'lavadaita, that she experiences some sort of argasha, but is not totally in touch with her own body, and therefore doesn't sense it fully. But it does happen, and therefore, as long as it's part of the regular cycle, that would make her a nida d'oraisa. But okay, we're getting a little far afield over here. We're still learning about basra. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara Vayter. Where are we? Yeah. Vaharava hu dekama rovu matzu lekel man diyamar. Wait a second. Isn't Rava the one that said that rovu matzu lekel man diyamar? That when it's rovu matzu, that's that everyone would agree that you'd follow the rov. So how do you see from here? How could Rava say that we see from here that isla Rabbi Chanina that we agree with Rabbi Chanina that you follow the rov? What do you mean? Everyone agrees in this particular case where it's not just rov but matzu as well. So answers the Gemara. So how debe Rava meahi? Rava changed his mind from that point, meaning Rava changed his mind that from that point and says that no, maybe not everyone would agree that Rova Matsui is you would follow the Rov. It's Tafka within Rabbi Chanina. Itmar, another Raya, Chavishat Safa Benar, if you have a barrel of wine that's floating in the river, so Amarav, Nimtzeis Keneged Ir Sherubah Yisrael, if you find that barrel of wine right near a city that's mostly Jews, Mutter, then the barrel is going to be Mutter, you can assume that it's perfectly fine. Keneged Ir Sherubah Nafrin, if you find that barrel of wine right near a city that's mostly non-Jews, Asira, then it's going to be Asir. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Afilu Nimtzeis Keneged Ir Sherubah Yisrael, Asira, even if it's found right near a Jewish town, still, it's going to be Aser. So, Ema Mehaidakra Asai. Why is it Aser? Because we have to assume Haidakra is the name of a place. We have to assume maybe it came from Haidakra, which Rashi says is a Shem Machlusu, it's the name of a neighborhood. Al Nar Pras, Ksambri Kedushin, Lin Yuchsin, and Ein Yisrael Matsuyin Shem. And it's not a very Jewish neighborhood. So we have to assume that maybe it came from all the way upstream by Haidakra. And therefore, we can't assume that just because you found it near a Jewish town, says Shmuel, that it came from that Jewish town. So says Gemara, Lema b'Rabbi Chanina k'miflugi. Ah, so maybe Rav and Shmuel are in fact arguing within the Shi'ah. They're arguing about whether we agree with Rabbi Chanina that Rov v'karov halchacha Rov. How so? Demar isli d'Rabbi Chanina. Shmuel apparently goes basa the Rov, not the Karov, because he says it might have come from Haidakra, which is a much larger town and has lots of Gayim, and even though you may have found it near a Jewish town, that's only the Karov, but the Rov is non-Jews, and that's why Shmuel is going to say that it's Asur, because he goes Basa the Rov, whereas Mar, less the Rabbi Chanina, and Rav apparently doesn't tell the Rabbi Chanina. Rav says, look, you found it near a Jewish town, so it must be okay. And he's not going to be bothered by the Rov Akum in Haidakra. So says Gemara Lo, to Kuli Amal Yisud Rabbi Chanina. Everyone would agree with Rabbi Chanina that when in fact there is a Rov versus a Karov, everyone would agree with Rabbi Chanina that you would follow the Rov. Over here the machlokas is different. Rav says it could not have come from Haidakra. Why could it not have come from Haidakra? Because the river isn't just flowing water. The river has rocks and edges. And if this barrel made it all the way from Haidakra, there's no way it wouldn't have slammed into a rock somewhere along the way and completely shattered. The fact that the barrel is intact is a raya that it could not have come from the city that's all Gayim. It must have come from somewhere much more local, and the closest city is a city of Jews, and therefore it's only a Karov. Everyone agrees when there's no Rov against the Karov that you follow Karov, everyone agrees that Karov is a Mevarer, that we do learn from Egla Rufa. Umar Savar Harifa Dinar Nakat Vasai. And Shmuel will say, no, the river is raging so fast, it's moving so quickly that it's able to overcome, it's able to pass right by the rocks. It doesn't get stuck on the sides where it hits the rocks. It just goes in the flow of the river, and therefore it's not going to be affected. The barrel is able to travel safely that far. Says Maravite another Ayahu Chatzpa de Chabra, Dishtakach the Pardesa da Arla, Sharya Ravina. There was a small jug of wine that was found in the Pardes of in a Pardes of Arla, meaning it's a vineyard of grapes that are all Arla, right? It's all within the first 3 years. Sharya Ravina, Ravina permitted it. Ravina said it's no problem. Probably that wine did not come from that vineyard. Lame Shum de Savla de Rabbi Chanina. Oh, why not? It must be holds like Rabbi Chanina. Why? How so? Rabbi Chanina holds Rov Karov Halachach Rov. Over here, it's Karov to Arla. So if it came from here, it would be Aser. But Rov of the wine in the world didn't come from Arla. Rov of the wine in the world is certainly not Arla. So if it came from anywhere else, it's probably Mutter. So you see that we hold like the Rov. We hold Rov Karov Halachach Rov. Aye, why don't you say that, says Tosos, why don't we say that, no, maybe it's a suffix, And the reason why he was matir is because Safik Arla and Chutz La'aretz is mutter. He says, no, Dahayi Leslik Rabbi Chanina El Rav Karov Azlin Basu Karov Im Kein Hav Yavadai Arla. No, because if you held the opposite of Rabbi Chanina, if you held that you follow Karov, it wouldn't be a Safik. Meaning, these are Mevarers. When you follow Rov, you're saying that it's Vadai from the Rov. When you follow the Karov, you're saying it's Vadai from the Karov. These aren't, these don't leave us with, whatever the rule is over here, does not leave us with a Safik. Right? It's going to leave us with a Vadai. We're going to assume Bidarach Vadai. Just like we said before, that by the Rov, Karov, Al-Chacha, Rov, by the Nida, we're willing to bring a Karban for that. We're willing to be Sarif Truma for that. Apparently because it's an absolute mevarer, so it would not leave us with a suffix. This is not an issue of suffix, it's an issue of vadai. But either way, don't you see from here that you hold like Rabbi Chanina that this must have come from Ruba di Alma and could not have come from this vineyard? So says Gemara, now shiny hasam di mignav mina at snubi gavei lo mitzni. Now, if it were stolen from this vineyard, you never would have hidden it in this vineyard. Meaning, when you steal something, it's a really bad idea to hide the item that you stole in the place that you stole it from. And that's really only when it comes to wine. When it comes to grapes, maybe by grapes you tackle wood. Maybe by grapes you would steal it. Now, says Tosfos, wait a second. So it's not Arla. Didn't come from here. Must have come from somewhere else. But it's wine. And most wine in the world is Stam Yenam. It's wine that belongs to Gayim. So how could it be mutter? Don't you have to assume that Stam Yenam, that it must be wine that belongs to Gayim? We're not assuming it's Mavushal or anything. So it says, tells us, Yeshlomar Derov Ganvi Yisrael Gdam Perk Basud Avod Zara. Unbelievably sad, right? He says, most of the Ganavim around these parts are Jews. And therefore, if it's a stolen thing, if it's a stolen item, and you found it, so you don't assume that it came from the stolen, from the rove of the world, you assume it came from Rov Ganavim. Who are Rov Ganavim? They're Jews, so you don't have to worry about Stam Yenam. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says you don't even have to make such an ukimta, that Rov Ganavim are Jews. You could just say, who says that when we say it's mutter, we mean it's mutter to drink? Maybe when it says mutter, it just means it's mutter bahana'a. Arla is asr bahana'a. So Stam Yenam, Yain Nesach is asr bahana'a. Also, Stam Yenam is mutter bahana, it's just aser to drink. So maybe that's all it means, that it's mutter bahana, not that it's actually mutter to drink. But the Gemara clearly at the end over here, la halacha seems to make a distinction between when you find grapes and when you find wine. That wine found within a vineyard, we assume did not come from the vineyard, nothing to do with Rov Karov, it just didn't come from the vineyard because no one would steal wine and then leave it in the vineyard. Grapes, we do assume, might be left in the vineyard. But again, this is all assuming that you don't follow Rov. Even if you don't generally follow Ruba di Alma, still this wine must have come from Ruba di Alma, and therefore, in this case, we're going to follow Ruba di Alma, because by wine, you never would have left it in the vineyard. Again, it's all assuming not like Rabbi Chanina. So Pashup Shana Gemara, this whole chiluk between wine and grapes, is only within a shita that we don't paskin like. And in fact, that's what the Rush says. The Rush paskins, even if you find grapes, it's also going to be mutter, because we pass like Rabbi Chanina, that we can follow in the Ruba di Alma, so you can rely on the Ruba di Alma, so it's all going to be mutter, even if it's grapes. The whole chiluk between grapes and wine is only within the shita that's against Rabbi Chanina. And that's what you would expect the poskim to say. Problem is the Rambam. The Rambam, Macholos Asuras Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel, writes as follows. Chavis Yayina Nimtzeis Tmuna Bepardes. If you find a barrel of wine hidden in a pardes, shel arla, of arla, asura b'shtiyo muteres ba'anaya, it's asura drink muter ba'anaya, she'en a ganav goniv mimakom v'tomen bo. Because a ganav doesn't steal from a certain place and hide within that place. Avla navman sam tmunim sham asurim, sham misham nilkutu v'etznim sham. But if you find grapes, then it's going to be asur, because you have to assume that it might have come from there. And everyone asks on the Rambam, what are you talking about? We paskin like Rabbi Chanina. Even the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Chanina. That Rov beats out Karov. So why would we make this distinction between finding grapes and finding wine? Either way, we should say it's mutter, it's not Arla. Whether it's grapes or wine, because you have the Rov. Why would you make any such distinction between grapes and wine? Why would you ever follow Karov in this instance? So the way a lot of the Rishonim answer the Rambam, or just explain how you can make such a distinction, is as follows. That there's a difference between Karov and Betocho. That over here, you didn't find this wine near the vineyard, you found this wine in the vineyard. So that's a much more serious karov than regular karov. Rov karov, you're going to follow rov. But rov versus finding it in the place itself, then where it's betoch is going to be more of a mevarer. Now the Gemara, obviously, when it brought the raya from the barrel of wine found in the Pardes of Arla, in the Havamina, when it first brought the raya, the Gemara obviously didn't think of this distinction, didn't think it made a difference, but maybe the Maskana, the Gemara does believe that it makes a difference. It says Gemara Vayter, Hanu Ziki Dechamra, there are these pouches of wine, Dishtakhan Bekupai, that are found that are hidden between the gefan and between the vines of a kerem, and the kerem belongs to a Jew. Sharinu Rava, so Rava permitted it. Lema lo savla Rabbi Chanina. So should we assume that Rava goes against Rabbi Chanina because Rabbi Chanina says you should follow the rov, and Rava is saying that you follow the karov over here, and why don't we go basaruba di alma? So says Gemara, no, shiny hasam. Meaning, and what's the problem if Rava goes against Rabbi Chanina? So says also, Rava isle la'el de Rabbi Chanina. Previously, Rava said he goes like Rabbi Chanina. So now Rava's going against himself. Previously, he said like Rabbi Chanina. Now he's going against Rabbi Chanina. Says Gemara, no, shiny hasam deruba de shafuchai yisrael minu. Most of the shafuchai are Jews. Who are shafuchai? So Rashi helps us out. Shovche yayin menachavis lenodos. He found this wine not in a barrel, but in a small pouch. That's how Jews drink their wine. Most of the people who pour the wine from the barrels to small pouches to sell over in Drachim, to sell like at the on the exits by the highway, they sell little drinks, right? So that's considered most of those people are Jews, and therefore you have a right to assume it came from even if you do assume it came from the Rove, you have a right to assume it came from the Jews. And that's only by Rav Ravi when they're in larger pouches, but when they're in smaller ones, then you assume that it fell from whoever was passing by and not necessarily from Jewish people. And if there are larger pouches together with the smaller ones, then we assume that even though they came from smaller ones, the smaller ones were only being used as a counterweight, meaning when they had to fit everything on the animal. So sometimes we have difficulty even packing suitcases, making it that it stands up properly, and the balance should be just right. The weight shouldn't be in one spot or the other. Imagine packing an animal; you want to make sure that the weight is evened out. So if they had large barrels of wine on one side, large bags of wine on one side, they would sometimes and something a little bit less weighty on the other side, they would throw in a few small bags of wine on the other side in order to even things out. So since they would do it to even things out, right? So that's where Rashi says, "Emer have manchi the hashlos masa chamar when one side has slightly more weight than the other one, manicha note cut on it slow the hashlos masa." So they would sometimes put these small thing in to even things out. But so therefore the fact that it's small does not indicate that it fell from over Yizrachim, because if it's together with larger ones, it was probably just used as a counterweight, and therefore you would still assume what you would normally assume by Rav Ravi, that it didn't come from Ruba di Alma, that it came from the Jewish from someone who was Jewish. Okay, says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Marchigna si ilan mini ir esum chamesh amo. We keep trees away from cities by 25 amos. 25 amos away from the city. B'charav u'b'shikma, chamishim amah. A charav tree or a shikma tree, we would keep 50 amos away from a city. Abishol omer, Abishol says, called ilan srak, chamishim amah. Any ilan srak, any non-fruit-bearing tree, you would keep 50 amos away from the city. Why? Says Rashi, g'nai huli ir. It's not nice for the city to have such a tree right growing right outside the city. Imeir kadma. So, okay, you're supposed to keep trees a certain distance away from the city. Now you have a tree that's close to the city. What do? So if the city came first, the city was there before the tree was there. Kotzeitz, venu nosin damim. The tree had no right to be there, and whoever planted the tree is too bad. He got to cut down the tree, and he does not get reimbursed for his tree. But vim ilan kadam, if the tree came first, the tree was there first, so therefore the tree had a right to be there. But look, lemaisa, it's still ruining the whole look of the city by having it near the city, right? So kotzeitz venosin damim. He still has to cut it down because it's ruining the look of the city, but the city does have to reimburse the owner of the tree for the loss of the tree. Safek zekadam and safek zekadam. Kotzei tzveinu nosin damim. We're not sure which one came first, so you cut it down, but you did not have to. You did not have to pay because amotzi mechaver alav araya. You can't prove that the city owes you any money because you don't know that your tree was there before that city was there. Says Gemara, my time. Amar ulam. Why is it that a tree can't be near a city? Meaning, by a tree near a bar. So we get that, right? We understand that the roots of the tree are going to damage the ground and it's going to damage the walls of the bar. But what does it do to a city? A city doesn't get ruined by trees. There are plenty of trees inside the city. So what's the tree doing to the city? Sanses Gemara Amar ulam mishum naya ir. It's purely it's a visual. It's just purely that the city should look nicer, and it looks nice when the city is surrounded by empty area, not when it has trees all around it. Shouldn't we know this anyway? Because you're not supposed to take a sada and turn it into a migrash or migrash into a sada. So lo tzricha l'rablasa damar osan sada migrash or migrash sada. Hacha mishum naya ir lo avdinan. Even if generally you're allowed to take a fallow area and turn it into a place where trees grow, but over here in the area right around the city, you're not supposed to do that because that's for naya ir. And even if you assume like the Rabbanan that generally you are not allowed to make a sada migrash or a migrash a sada, that's only when it comes to planting zraim, when it comes to planting small plants, when it comes to planting trees, normally it would be allowed. But over here, since it's mishum naya ir, since you have the beauty of the city to worry about, we're not going to allow it. Where do we ever find that there's a difference between Zra'im and Ilanos? Titania, we do find there's a difference. Karfef Yosim Besasayim Shukaf Ladira. You have a karfef, a large area that's larger than Beis HaSayim, which is the size of the chatzar of the Mishkan, right? And that's the limit, the chacham in place, to what's an area that's hukaf ladira. So if it's hukaf ladira, if it's surrounded by walls for the sake of living in there, nizra rubo hareu kagina va'asr. If it's mostly planted, we treat it like a garden, and it's asr to carry in there, right? We don't consider Rosh HaSayachid legabe Shabbos. Nita rubo, if it was mostly planted, with not Nizra but Nita, where the right of Rashi says if it was Nizra Rubo, Batla Zraim Shem Dira Mimenu, the Zera would take away the Shem Dira from it. It wouldn't be called the Dira. It's like a garden that's not Hukaf Ladira, since it's larger than Beis HaSayim. But Nita Rubo, what is Nita Rubo? Planted with trees. Then Areuke Chatzar Mutter. Then it's like a Chatzar Mutter. So you see that there is a big difference between planting trees and planting Zraim. When you plant Zraim, it's going to take away the Shem Dira. When you plant trees, it doesn't take away the Shem Dira. So you want to know where we have a source that we're Mechalik? Right there, that's a source that we're Mechalik between Zraim and Ilanos. We said if the city was there first, you cut down the tree, but you do not have to reimburse, and you do not have to reimburse the person who put the tree there, because the person had no right to put the tree there. The person who owns the tree had no right to have the tree there. So says in our Mishnah, Gabe Bar Diktani Kotzitz Venosin Damim, Umishnah Hacha Diktani Kotzitz Venosin Damim. Why is it by bar, where you need to be marked a tree from a bar, we said if the bar was there first, still you cut down the tree, but the Bala Bar still has to pay, has to reimburse the Bali Ilan for his tree. Why over there do you have to reimburse the Bali Ilan for his tree? And over here we do not have to reimburse the Bali Ilan for the tree if the city came first. Some Rav Kahana explained that when dealing with the city, you have to work with different rules. Because Kidra de Beishutfi lo chamima v'lo karira, when you have a pot that's supposed to be watched over by shutfin, by partners, then the pot's never going to be just right. It's never going to get too hot. It's never going to get too cold. It's never going to be taken care of properly, because each person assumes the other guy's going to do it. That's why you need to have certain people in charge of certain tasks whenever you're running anything. There are certain people that have to be put in charge of certain tasks, because if you just say, yeah, let the Velt take care of it. Well, the Velt isn't going to take care of it. Everyone's going to assume that it's going to be the next guy. You find very often that in smaller towns, like the Erevin and the Mikvaos, in smaller towns, are much better watched after than in larger places. Because in larger places, everyone says, you could ask 30 Orthodox rabbis in the greater five towns community, you know, what happened, what's the story with it? Everyone assumes that it's the next guy. That it's such a large community, someone must be taking care of it. So here as well, that if you can have a city that's going to have to pay for a tree, by the time, no one's ever going to end up paying, because this guy's going to assume that one's going to pay, that one's going to assume that one's going to pay, and ultimately what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with a tree. You're never going to cut down the tree, and that's going to be terrible, Rashi says, because ein zu teferes Eretz Yisrael. That's not nice for Eretz Yisrael, to have the trees ruining the whole look of the town. Says Gemara, my kushya, why is it even a difficulty at all? Dilma shani ezeket rab me ezeket yachid. Maybe the bar is different than the tree, because rabim is different than a yachid. Eli yitmar derav kahana asef itmar. No, you know where Rav Kahana's statement comes in? It comes in on the seifa. Ima ilan kadam, if the tree came first, we said kotzitz v'nosin damim, you do pay him back. V'leimelu havali b'resha dami v'hadar ekutz. Why can't the guy taina though? Don't cut my tree, then pay me. Pay me, then cut my tree down. I want the money first. So Rav Kahana kidrut b'shutvi lachamim l'kariru. No, we don't pay him first because it's going to take forever till he gets his money, and we don't want to wait that long and keep the tree up there and ruin Eretz Yisrael, ruin the look of Eretz Yisrael. If we're not sure which one came first, then we cut down the tree, but we do not have to reimburse him for the tree. If we're not sure if the bar came first or if the tree came first, we don't have, he doesn't have to cut it down at all. So why over here, when we're not sure, do we say he yes has to cut it down, but we don't have to pay him the money? So says Marna Hasim Devade Lav Lemekatz Kai Sveikonami Larmin and Lekotz. Over there, where if it was a vadai, it wouldn't be a situation that you would cut it down. So for Mesupak, whether it was there first or not, we're not going to make him cut it down. Over here, it doesn't matter which one came first. Either way, the tree is going to have to be cut down, regardless. So since Miman of Shechet is going to have to be cut down, so you're going to cut down the tree when we don't know. But in terms of the money, that really depends on which one came first. And therefore, we're going to tell him, if you want your money, bring a raya that your tree was here first, and then you'll be able to get your money. Okay, we'll pick up from that Mishnah tomorrow.